Now knowing it was their last night, Sam and Mariam drove the Moyen Corniche ostensibly so he could explain some of the mechanics of vehicular SDRs, but in truth, because he wanted to be alone with her, and had become paranoid that Proctor had bugged the safe house. They also had to talk about Uncle Daoud. They drove toward Monaco. A few stars peaked admirably between the haze. He pulled into an overlook. The cliffs below collapsed into a forest of palm and citrus overlooking a white beach. A few other cars were parked at the far end of the overlook, the occupants necking inside. For a while, Sam and Mariam looked out in silence.
"Daoud?"
she said finally, scanning to the left to ensure they were out of earshot. "What do you think?" Sam said.
"He will not work for CIA," she said. "But I think he would tell me things he should not. He may assume his information would go somewhere else, but he would not ask where, I think."
"You said he has grievances?"
"Yes. Razan. He is enraged at her treatment, and he, like many people, does not support the indiscriminate killing. He also does not want to see the gas used. He is a patriot. He understood why it was necessary to deter Israel. He does not think it should be used on Syrians."
"You've talked about this?"
She put her hand on his leg with a look that said, "Let me explain Syria, silly American. The conversations are more guarded, more vague," she said. "In Syria, we do not have such frank discussions because one can never know who is listening. If I ask him questions, I will say the palace is asking. It will allow him to speak candidly."
"Just be careful." She rolled her eyes and turned away. Sam moved on. "What do you think he could provide?"
"He is responsible for the stockpile in the capital, so he would know if the regime is planning to use the sarin in Damascus. He would also know about the security situation at the sites."
Sam nodded. "Whatever you can elicit would be extremely helpful. It would be a priority for us." Mariam invited him to shut up by kissing him hard on the mouth. Then they awkwardly slid into the back of the car. He went first. She followed. Soon she was being rocked back and forth and squeezing her muscles, and it was starting to feel good, that swelling expanding to fill her body. And his hands were knotted in her hair, and his eyes were stuck on hers. And he'd put his back up a bit to get the angle right, sensing where she wanted the pressure. When it was done, they lay winded in the back seat. "This is how the weighty decisions get made," she thought as they breathed together. "I did nothing. Not anymore."